So, Charlie Lansborough is our Spotlight UK artist this weekend here on UKCountryRadio.com, and Charlie's on the line now. Hi there, Charlie.
Hi, Alan. Great to be with you again, mate.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And we're going to be playing loads of your music across the weekend.
I much appreciate that. Thank you.
Got an opportunity here to find out a bit about you as well. So I want you to take us right back to the beginning, Charlie, because you've been a name that's been around for many, many years. But how did you first get into this country music business?
Well, it started when I was only a small boy. My brothers were all seafarers who came back with, it shows my age now, with Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams albums or tapes or records in those days, and it grew from there. My father was a ballad singer, but I just grew up, and when I picked the guitar up when I was about 13 or something, and my brothers always brought guitars back, and learnt a few chords, and learnt a few Hank Williams songs, and I was away, you know, and then I started playing pubs around Merseyside, for nothing, just walking in with my guitar, and sitting in the corner and singing all night. And then I started to write, and the whole thing, I mean, I've loved music since I was a very small boy, so it's a very sort of long transitionary stage to get to where I am now, you know, but it's been a love affair that's gone on since I was a small boy.
And you went through a stage, didn't you, like, you know, many of the artists that we feature here on the station who play the pubs and clubs around the UK. You did that for quite a while, I think.
I did that for an awful long time, and people said to me, years later, they said, Charlie, why didn't you ever come down here before, when they were talking about places away from Merseyside? And I said, well, and it sounds like a joke, but I said, I never had a car that I could trust to get me further than Merseyside. And the nice thing was, the country music fraternity in the UK were the first people who gave me a sort of a listening audience, if you like. And, I'm eternally grateful for
that. Yeah. What about that song, What Colour Is the Wind? Was it that one that really changed things for you?
It was. That was the song that sort of transformed my life, really. I was a primary school teacher and playing in pubs and things of an evening and writing out of frustration because I wanted a life in music. And I was celebrating my birthday in a little club in Southport, which is just about an hour away from where I live. And amongst the gifts that were given to me that night was a singer-songwriter, Pete Naden, who you probably know, Alan, turned up and he said, Charlie, I've got a great title for you. He said, a blind child was overheard saying to her father, or his father, I'm not sure whether it was a boy or a girl, what colour is the wind, Daddy? And I thought, what a beautifully poignant title that is. And went away and wrote the song, and little did I realise the effect that song would have upon my life. I wasn't even aware of the power of the song. I played it to my son first and said, is this okay? And he's very honest, Art Alan. He said, yeah, Dad, that's quite surreal. It's okay, yeah. So we went and played it and got this phenomenal response to it and ended up recording it and sang it on Irish television. And that song and Forever Friend took me to the top of the Irish charts. And my whole life was changed overnight. You know, it was a long overnight, Alan, but nonetheless.
And that song just moves, and it crossed boundaries, didn't it? And I'll tell you a little story here, Charlie. You know, normally let you do the storytelling, but I've got a little quick one for you here. You know, I do a little bit of keyboard playing myself, and at the weekend I was playing in a pub in Sheffield, and it's a singer's night in a pub. You probably know the type of thing, and people get up and they bring me some music, and you know, they sing along, and I try and follow them. piece of music given to me on Sunday night. What colour is the wind?
Oh, that's lovely to hear. It's very gratifying when you write something. I mean, you write in the hope that will touch other people.
Yeah.
Whatever you write, and on the other occasion when you succeed, it's a wonderful feeling to think that you've created something. And it might sound rather twee to certain ears, but we're both in the same game of sort of trying to bring pleasure to other people. And once you've done it, especially through something that you've created, you want to do it all your life.
Yeah.
And that song, as I say, managed to do that for me, and I'm eternally grateful to the Almighty for giving it to me, you know.
Now, what's happened since What Colour Is the Wind? I mean, all sorts is the answer, isn't it? But, you know, I mean, you've done many albums, you've been all over the world, really, haven't you? You know, prior to that song, you never really went out of Merseyside, by the sounds of things.
No, I didn't, and you're right. I mean, it's been an incredible friend to me, and the music generally, because I've been here, there and everywhere, and I've met the most wonderful people from all walks of life, the so-called ordinary people, if there is such a thing. And some of the big names and stars out of the world that I've managed to meet through the music. And it's been, you know, just when I thought the whole thing was never going to happen, at the late age of 53, the whole thing sort of took off for me. And the songs have taken me here, there and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I've appeared in the Grand Ole Opry. I've played with the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra. I've toured Australia and all around the UK. And as I say, met wonderful people, been surrounded by great people. And I'm very, very fortunate because I'm doing the thing that I love. And it's able to support me and my family. So music and the people that's brought me into contact with have been wonderful friends to me.
You know, you don't stand still either, do you? Because, you know, you have a new album coming out every 1 to 2 years, and you know, you're always writing new songs for those.
Well, you know, it's, I think if the joy and the love for something, I said, if your heart's not involved in it, then you shouldn't be in it, you know, and especially that's true of music. And I'm continually writing. I mean, that's what I've been doing for the past month or so. And no, I don't think you can afford to stand still, and if you have any laurels, to rest on them, you know. I love what I do, and I want to sort of keep it going for as long as I can because of all the things that I mentioned before. But yeah, it's a continual joy to me, and I didn't come into music for the glamour or the fame or the money, although the little offshoot of that, I'm not going to turn away from.
Yeah.
I came into it because I love music, and, mm-hmm. and I still love music, and that's the great passion of my life. And I wouldn't know what to do without it, you know.
Yeah.
I remember talking to one of the lads once, and I said, Sinatra had made another comeback, Old Blue Eyes, you know, and he said, oh, cynically, they said, what's he coming back for? He's got plenty of money. And I thought, what a load of rubbish. I thought, the man is a singer, and that's what makes him tick, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about money, and it's not about the other peripheral things. It's about the passion and the love of the thing that you do. And thankfully, that passion and that love is still there and sort of motivates me to keep writing and doing what I'm doing.
Now, I think you were the first person to actually tell me in the past about how people record in Nashville. And I didn't actually know that you'd recorded the song I was talking about in Nashville, but I picked up on a track which was on one of your albums, and it wasn't one of your own songs. It was a Dire Straits song, Why Worry?
Oh,
and I asked you, there was something about that song that it just sounded so well produced and well played, and you suddenly revealed that, well, I didn't know that you'd actually recorded it with some really top players.
Well, I was very blessed. I went to Nashville, and I, apart from the music, I wasn't really looking forward to it. I thought it's going to be a tawdry sort of taffy sort of touristy cowboy town.
Yeah.
And I went, and I was sort of taken by the place very much because I met wonderful people. And a part of that trip, I went into the studio with some of the... I'm a great bluegrass fan, and I went in with some of the finest players you would ever come across. I mean, Jerry Douglas and Al Perkins, the two best dobro players in the world. I had Jim Rooney producing the album, who's a wonderful man who's produced all sorts of classic albums. And I had Stuart Duncan from the Nashville Bluegrass Band. I had the engineer was the man who'd done all Don Williams stuff. So wherever I looked, there was expertise, and I felt a little bit sort of daunted by it. But they couldn't have been nicer. And they were amazing musicians because they said, what's next, Charlie? And I'd sit down and sing my little song with my acoustic guitar, and they just all made a few notes, and they'd decide who's going to take the solo or whatever. Then they all disappeared into separate cubicles. The drummer, a lovely man called Pat McInerney, an Englishman who plays with Nancy Griffiths, he counted us in, and away they went, and I said, it was so great. I didn't want to sing, I just wanted to listen. And I, you know, they couldn't have been nicer to me either. They were lovely people. So I'm hoping to go back someday and repeat the process.
Right, okay. And you're still touring, of course, twice a year in the UK. You'll have your autumn tour coming up pretty soon, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because I meet so many, like, old friends now.
Mm.
And somebody once said, Charlie Lansbury hasn't got fans, he's got friends. And I thought, well, that's a much nicer way of putting it, because these people are friends to me. They've been incredibly good to me. So it's going round a lot of old familiar places, meeting some new places, some new faces, I should say, going to some new places, and it's a joyride, you know, and I'm very lucky to be on it.
Now, will you be using that wonderful-looking purple guitar of yours?
I do. I went into a shop in Doncaster, actually, to buy a guitar for my son. And the bloke said, yeah, have a look at this, you'll either love it or hate it. and he pulled that guitar out. And I'm a great fan of Martin guitars, which are made in America. And that was a bit special because it changed colour as you move it round.
Yes.
And me being as static as I am, I thought, well, I need all the help I can get, you know. And my wife, Thelma, said, oh, you've got to buy that. That's beautiful, you know. And, so that will definitely be featuring with me on the road.
Well, we look forward to seeing it, and you. We don't just come for the guitar, we come for you as well. in the autumn tour this year. Charlie, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us here on UKCountryRadio.com.
It's been a pleasure, mate. You've been a great friend to me over the years, Alan, and it's a joy to speak to you again. God bless you, mate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan.